you know, with critique wasn't too harsh, you know, so.
It's an easy crowd.
Nobody cried.
Coffee Sketch Podcast is our take on the intersection of old tech and new tech, the space between the traditional practice of the hand-drawn sketch that has been performed by architects and designers for centuries, and the modern-day use of the hashtag as a representation of a sentiment or a movement. Each week, we plan to deliver a new pod about our ideas, sketches, and what's going on in our daily lives as we pursue our love of architecture, design, and sharing this knowledge with the next generation. I'm Kurt, and I'm in Flint.
And I'm Jamie, and I'm in Austin.
Hey, Jamie. How you doing?
Good. How are you, Kurt?
I'm fine. I'm doing really well. We have another special episode upon us. So right on the heels of talking with Joel from AI North Carolina, we recently had the opportunity to do a jury for AI Iowa. And in that, we brought in our friend Clarice from Florida. And so today we've got Clarice back, not to talk about AI Iowa things, but to talk about sketching, coffee, beer, adult beverages, things, all of the above. And we also have another special guest, Clarice's favorable half, Toby. And so without further ado, why don't you guys, Clarice, go first?
Toby and Clarice are, you know, because we missed them this year, yeah. we all reconvene at least once a year, and we missed that opportunity, you know, because of the national convention that we talked about in probably far too many episodes leading up to it, thinking that, you know, it actually might happen, which was just like false hope. So we missed y'all, and so we're glad that we could do this. So cheers, first of all.
Yeah.
Hey, cheers.
You know, that was a better intro.
Well, Kurt, I've realized for the listeners who are wondering how I do that is that while Kurt's going through the initial intro, Jamie's thinking.
Yeah, I actually could see the subscribers dwindling as I speak. Beep, 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 beep. So Clarice, this is going to be fun. We're Zooming again, and we've got our old friends on new Zoom. So why don't you tell us where you are, both of you guys, and then we'll talk about what we're going to talk about, which is some sketches and, you know, maybe what we're doing on this Saturday. Take it away.
Well, I'm Clarice. I'm in Orlando, Florida, practicing architect and all around lover of adult beverages and coffee.
And coffee.
Sketching, don't get the opportunity to do it nearly as much as I would like to, but so we'll see what happens today.
It's fair enough. Toby, how far away from Clarice are you?
I'm actually, I don't know, about 50 yards, maybe closer than that, out by the swimming pool in the crazy, crazy, crazy heat of Florida. Yeah, it is very humid, but it's overcast today. I guess all the storms are coming our way. So.
Oh, right.
Our two-for-one hurricane special.
Yes. That's right. Yes.
Because, I mean, it's been 100 years. I mean, you know, what else? You know,
right. Like, well, 2020. It's multiples of two there.
You got to hold it accountable for all the good things that's happened so far.
Well, yeah. So hopefully I've only heard about this. The two storms, I don't know what their track is, but are you guys near the pathway?
Marco and Laura?
Yeah.
I feel like it should have been Marco and Polo. But that's
that would be excellent. Like they're like, okay, we know we do it alphabetical, but yeah, because it's a special occasion. Yeah, right.
Skip L. Yeah. M-N-O-P.
Skip out, go to P. Yeah.
No, so right now we are to the east of both of the projected tracks. It looks like they're going straight towards the Gulf. So we might get some of the outer bands as it passes us, but I don't expect much.
Yeah, Houston-Galveston looks like going to be a direct hit by most of the models, at least for one of them. So we'll see what that, you know, what that ends up being. I'm not one of those people who kind of follows the weather a ton unless I've got a project in construction, and then I pay a little bit more attention to the weather. But I saw something last night and I just like, that just, you know, it does not look promising at all. I mean, you know, they're not apparently strong storms, but two storms next to one another, almost on the same identical timeline, just sounds really terrible.
Yeah.
And it's nothing you guys that are we've talking had about in the a rain, while.
And it's starting to rain now. Here it comes.
The best laid plans. So speaking of weird weather anomalies, or not weather related, but geological phenomenon. There was a 3.1 or 2 earthquake in Michigan, in Monroe, which is like down south by the Ohio border and or Ohio Indiana area. And I mean, it's not, you know, having lived in California, 3.0 is pretty mild.
Yeah.
You know, right, Tinkerbell? Yeah, Tinkerbell agrees.
Mild. It's totally mild. Yes.
But, I mean, Michigan, right? You know, it's not known for its seismic activity, but, you know, 2020. So, it's been an interesting year. But, so, aside from all the weather and phenomenon and, you know, reasons we're meeting on Zoom where we normally would be doing this in convention land somewhere. Well, this year would have been LA.
Having a fabulous time. Oh, okay.
Just sharing my love for my alma mater, where I
was
AIDS
today.
Hopefully going to take everybody, the four of us, on a little walking tour about campus.
Well, that would have been great.
Back in May or June. When was it? Doesn't matter, right? Because it didn't. Because next year
it's supposed to be May.
Because they didn't even reschedule to the same city. They've moved on to Philadelphia. Jamie and I have already talked about this probably a couple of times. Are you raising the roof to Philly, Toby?
I'm a Pennsylvania boy.
Oh, how far?
The great state.
Where did you grow up near Philly?
I actually grew up in central Pennsylvania outside of State College, a little town called Huntingdon.
Oh, yeah. You know, my brother went to Bucknell.
Bucknell, nice.
Which
good
is
school.
In Lewisburg, right?
Lewisburg?
Right. Yeah. It's like in the middle of Pennsylvania. Michigan shaped like this. Pennsylvania.
We also have some geography segues in this show. We also have, I don't know if y'all like Twin Peaks or not. Twin Peaks?
Good
the
question.
The TV show? No? Didn't get into it? Okay. So.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
I'm new, just to put that out there. It was not something I watched originally like Jamie did. And then Jamie rewatched and rewatched and rewatched. So I'm in your boat, but I have actually seen the first season now under duress.
Yeah, but so anyways, in the show, it's it's David Lynch, so it's, you know, it's all sort of strange and, you know, Mulholland Drive and, you know, those kinds of, you know, movies. But in the TV show, I mean, and this was like network TV, right? They had a show within the show, which was kind of odd and strange. And you weren't really sure what was kind of going on, but it was all set within a Frank Lloyd Wright house in LA. So all the shots are done in this like very, you know, distinct Frank Lloyd Wright house in LA. And so I was like, Kurt, you know, I drew him in with the architecture and just, you know, and we went there. I don't know why I brought that up at all. I just,
he knows where to get me.
Oh, I know why. Because we have a show. Because we have a show within the show too, where Kurt and I talk about baseball.
Sports, right? That's true. We've artificially created some kind of subgenre
of a sub podcast that doesn't really exist, except for maybe in a parallel universe where Kurt and I really talk about baseball, especially teams that don't necessarily exist anymore. But we love them.
I was going to comment on that. Nice. That's a nice Montreal hat.
Thank you.
You know, the Expos.
Old school Expo.
Yeah. And then speaking of one more thing about Montreal. So it's oddly enough, there's this contractor here in Michigan. He works for a large construction company, and he, I've met him at some AIA and, you know, the contractors group, joint meetings, things like that. He used to play hockey for the Canadiens. Oh. And now his son plays hockey for the Canadiens. So I'll have to get some, what do you call it, like player bio stuff for both of them. And yeah, I'll send it over in the show notes. But, you know, Jamie is a Canadian, a Montreal born native. What would you call your, what would that be, like a, you know, your homeland, your...
My birthplace?
Birthplace. Yeah, you know. So, you know, we like to celebrate Montreal things. There's so many good things about Montreal.
Yeah. And it has such a nice little architecture tie-in that I never knew before I got into architecture school and sat in my first slide lecture.
Oh, yeah. And you're like, yeah, you see Habitat 67, you're like, oh, look, yeah, I know that. I've been there. How about you guys? You guys ever make it up to Canada? Claris?
We were supposed to for our, the Vancouver run?
Yeah. We were supposed to be in Vancouver last weekend, but the race got canceled. Mm. Travel got canceled.
Right.
2020, everything just got canceled.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot. We should, point out another sports athletic tie-in is that you guys like to run.
Yes.
Very much.
But you guys can't really run.
Like quite a bit. I mean, like not just not, like, oh, yeah, you this like to run, you know, Like,
yeah.
Well, since you all have seen us, Toby has become a marathoner.
Wow.
He ran the Marine Corps Marathon last fall. In a very
How was that, sir?
Worst thing I ever did. It was very vicious. You know, it had the it had everything. It had the heat, the rain, torrential downpour, cold. But yeah, and then to make it the best part about it actually was that at the end, whatever, they had Marines that actually gave you the medal when you finished. Oh. So you kind of gave you that little boost to start running at the end a little bit more.
And well, they're also
up a hill, so.
Yeah, lining the hill, yelling at you. So there's no walking across the finish line.
There's no done. Yeah, right.
Yeah. If you can go fight, I can make it up this hill. Okay, right.
Congrats. Congrats, Toby.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Claris,
yes. Cheers. For sure.
Yes, cheers.
Did Claris, did you run one ever?
I've run three. I was supposed to run Marine Corps last fall with Toby and all of our friends, but I was unfortunately injured. So I was the cheerleader. I made signs. I stood in the pouring rain, which is almost as bad as running in it. And definitely helped celebrate afterwards.
I mean, it's given you guys some really great like opportunities to travel. I mean, I have friends who do like sports like that. I have a friend who rows. And she does sort of plans a couple trips where her and her kind of crew team like will go and get to, you know, do a little bit of travel with their significant others in that. So, I mean, what is like top three like highlight reel like locations you've been to for the running?
For me, I would say top is Utah. We did a race outside of Salt Lake City. And I had never really been out that way. I'd been like to Denver, stuff like that, but never made it to Utah. And we did We do a series of races that are done. It's Rebel, and they're all a downhill race. So they bus you up to the top of the mountain, and there's a half marathon and a full marathon distance, and you pretty much get bussed up, and then you have to run down. So we did that one, and it was just gorgeous. The scenery was absolutely beautiful. The incline definitely made the running faster, so that was good. So that's probably my top destination that we've done together. And then we did Philly, right? Yeah, we did the Broad Street 10 miler. And I think that was probably my second one because, like Toby said, he loves Pennsylvania. But unfortunately, that was a real rainy race. So we want to redo that one and have a better weather experience.
But I will say, though, of all the places we do, and I know it's an architect thing too, but most of the places that we do go to with Claris is that we obviously visit a bunch of different places, but we also go see places where that she wants to check out the architect for, the architecture of it. So I get the whole perspective of getting to see a new place, but then she tells me about different things about where we go. So that's been the cool part.
Well, so here's the thing that I like about this, that just that 10 seconds is how many architecture podcasts do you get to listen to where we actually talk to a non-architect about their architect's significant other and their and their strong desire to like, no, like, let's just go over here for a little bit because I have this one thing I want to go see.
Oh, yeah. She actually, one little story I like to tell, though, it's real quick. When we went to Ireland and she was literally showing, when we were at the brewery, the Guinness brewery, whatever, we were looking at beams. Everybody else was looking at pictures of the Guinness brewery itself, whatever. She's actually looking at the beams and the structure, the bones. So,
and the stairs, the stairwell.
Yes, the stairs. And I don't know how many times she has pointed out that is not correct. That is not built correctly. It does not meet standards. So yeah, she has pointed that out many a times.
Oh man. So yeah, we should set aside another future episode with Toby and Danielle, my wife, who also non-architect. They get to roast us. And
yes,
and you know, Danielle's heard enough plenty about Jamie, so actually all three of you guys. That she can roast all of us, and Toby will chime. You know, definitely.
Oh, I have stories for Claris.
Help out, but the. Speaking of Philly again, one more time. Is the conference was in Philly? I don't know. Were you there the last time it was in Philly, Claris?
I was, and that was Toby's first convention.
Oh, cool. Well, we were not fully friends. We were not friends then far as we did not meet each other on committee stuff till after that. So
yeah,
it'll be fun to go, fingers crossed. Cause I mean, you know, we're not out of the woods yet.
Yeah, no.
The conference 21, we all can try and, you know, meet up face to face. Philly is a fun city though.
Yeah.
I grew up in Connecticut, so I had friends that wound up moving to Philadelphia right after high school, and so I've been to Philadelphia a few times, it's a lot of cool architecture, good cheesesteaks,
yes, lots of history,
and, you know, and you get, you know, your easy access to Yingling. Although down in Florida, you guys can get Yingling, right?
Oh yeah, it's everywhere.
This is like an anomaly. This is probably something we could even spend an entire episode on. Is, you know, the fact that Yingling will distribute to Ohio, but they will not go to Michigan, and there are such fandom of Yingling beer that people will drive into Ohio from Michigan to stock up on. This what is Yingling is the oldest brewery of the United States, right? Isn't that the claim to fame?
Yes.
Yep.
Pottstown. So,
and it's actually I like a Yingling, you know? Jamie, have you had a, do they have it in Texas? Yingling?
I don't know, but I have had it.
Okay. If they distribute to Texas, I'm going to be really mad.
I'm just not sure about all these like demilitarized beer zones that Kurt has. Like I imagine there's a room in his house that he's got a map, like on the wall, like with strings and pins. Like
where you have to go to get which beer.
Exactly.
Well, Yuengling actually has a brewery here in Tampa, just south of us. So,
Oh, right.
It's very, very available down here.
Right. I heard they have a southern outpost. Yeah.
And then I struggle because I am a fan of Virginia craft beer, which does not get distributed widely. So I have... Annually, my dad and I, we go to the Outer Banks, we meet up, he brings Virginia beer, I bring Florida beer, we trade whatever doesn't get consumed in the 2 weeks we're up there, and sadly, this year, that trip is not happening, so I don't get that opportunity, so I'm finishing off the last of my stash of Virginia craft beer, and I'm very sad.
So. Yeah. That sounds like a good plan. Well,
yeah, sounds like a proper way to do a trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
bring it's like bringing goodie bags for like for when you leave or something.
Well, and then last year I got sort of stranded because the hurricane came to Florida right as I was supposed to be driving back from the Outer Banks. So I decided to drive north and go stay at my parents for a week after to miss the hurricane. So I was able to stock up even more and fill the back of my car to bring beer back down here. So,
which is carried you this far.
Yes. It's that lasted.
Sustained you.
Yes.
Yes.
Just shy of a year.
So you make that trip by driving.
Yeah.
You do it by driving.
Yeah, because there's no easy way to fly to the Outer Banks because the closest airport is Raleigh and it's still a 5-hour drive.
Well, it's like, isn't it like this little sliver of land that eventually will disappear into the sea?
Yes, it's actually been hit pretty hard. It's been hit harder by hurricanes in the recent years than Florida has. So it's had some issues with some of the dunes and everything. But
still, do you stay in a little place out there, just rent something?
Yeah, we used to have a house. We were there, same house every year. Now we're sort of bouncing around to different ones. But yeah, we rent a property and then my brother will sometimes come down with his kids and sort of our family vacation. So it's nice. It's very relaxing because we're in Hatteras Village, which is not the real touristy northern part of the Outer Banks, like Nag's Head. So it's real... very slow, laid back, no real nightlife or anything. So we'll do some deep sea fishing, a lot of beach sitting, beer drinking, book reading. So perfect vacation.
It does sound like fun. Which, you know, as long as you're not traveling, so to speak, or how do I put it? I saw a photo of you on Facebook or Instagram that you are trying to replicate that situation as best you can in Florida.
Yeah. So we've been actually going to the beach here in Florida a lot more this summer now that they reopened, just so I can get a little bit of a fix and it's a much shorter drive. So it's,
we'll
go for 4 hours and
they closed. They had closed beach for a while.
Yeah. They closed all the beaches for a while at the beginning and then they opened back up and we know it. Like if you go to the real popular spots, it's still pretty crowded. And people are not as distanced as they probably should be.
Oh, look at the kitty.
Aww, sorry. Kitty.
Jamie is distracting. Jamie has introduced a new family member. What's the cat's name now?
Not a named cat yet.
Oh.
Brand new.
The cat who shall not be named.
Yeah, who shall not be named yet.
You cut, you know.
But that will happen. So anyhow.
Yeah, sorry, Claris, to go back to.
As you were saying. We've been able to go to the beach and socially distance pretty easily and just enjoy some quiet time with our friends that are in our bubble.
Yeah, that's cool. It's scary. I mean, not that, you know, we one thing, Jamie and I, we talk about kind of our situation, but we don't really talk about the ins and outs of the, what do you got, Jamie? What is that? Ruby?
Ooh.
Ruby red.
It's a Shiner. Shiner does like Shiner. We all know Shiner beer, but Shiner's sort of they've started doing a variety of different brews. Usually, really pick it up in the summertime, and so this is one that they did a cut, and they do them as sort of like special batches, and then they sort of figure out which ones like people actually like. from the special batch, and then they'll continually kind of do them as sort of seasonal beers. But this one is has a red grapefruit that they brew with it. So it has a really interesting kind of it's a little bit lighter.
Sounds good.
It has like it's a nice.
It's like the Schopenhauer.
Yeah. I mean, it's more of a summer beer. I mean, cause it has that sort of, you know, but it's one of those sort of special brews from them. I'm not like, I like their just Shiner Bock, you know, straight up, you know, as a go-to, but this is one of the ones that I could say is a good one.
Cool. And I was just thinking, changing the subject, because now you got me, we should talk about our beverages real quick. I have a Bell's Flamingo Fruit Fight. And it's a tart ale brewed with passion fruit and lime.
Actually, and, Kurt, yours could actually go for a kid's actual fruit punch drink, it looks like.
It tastes like.
Yeah, the graphics kind of are a little bit suggestive there, Kurt.
Yes.
A different audience.
It says here, this fruit fight started when two flamingos walked into a bar. You wouldn't believe what happened next. ... Maybe one flamingo was Big Bird. Confused for Big Bird. But the, it's not bad. It's actually a request of Danielle. She wanted to know, or she wanted something like a sour or a tart beer. Last night, we got some. And also, I got myself an IPA, though. She doesn't like IPA, so I have to.
You got to respect her for liking a sour, because a lot of people do not like sours.
That's true. It's a light. It's very light, and it's like only like 5%, and it's pretty good. It's kind of like in that summer beer flavor section. Although I like, and I think you guys are doing a little sampling. You're following the rules, as I mentioned. It was a flight Zoom that we were going to do, and Jamie and I are both. Well, Jamie's got.
Oh, I mean, I've had two, or I've just started my second. So I had a left hand milk stout. To start.
Wait a
now
minute.
I've completely like shifted.
Left hand. Oh, where's left hand? Before we go into
Colorado.
Yeah, it's a Colorado. Yeah.
You know, so Michigan is shaped left like hand. a mitten, but there's the Upper Peninsula. Is your left hand. And there is I always confuse left hand with, there's a brewery in the Upper Peninsula called Upper Hand.
Ooper.
For the Oopers.
This is the part of the show where Kurt vogues.
Oh, jeez.
Strike a pose. But yes, you know, Michigan is a hand. So then the Upper Peninsula is the Upper Hand. And then there's the Vulcan Hand. Unfortunately, you know, we have to eventually find our technology to where we do this, post the videos. But right now, Jamie and I only post the audio podcast. So we have to try and verbalize the visual content at the moment. But so tell us what you guys are drinking, one of which I already know, which is a Michigan beer. Thumbs up.
Yes.
Upper hand thumbs up. But it's.
So we have a J Dubs Passion Wheat. It's passion fruit and mango wheat ale. So it's a good summer beer, light, refreshing, very crisp. And then I've got a Three Notched Brewing, which is some of my Virginia craft beer. That's a Hydralion Red. So a nice red ale. And then to round out the little punch. We've got the Founders KBS Stout, which is very good and very strong.
Yeah. So what do you guys think? You like it?
I like
it. Oh, I do. I love dark beers.
Yeah.
If I could drink beers, dark beers and not be full all the time, I'm good.
I'll have to, I think, and now that I put this on the recorded part of the podcast, I have to fulfill my promise of preparing a care package for all attendees of this special episode. But I know Jamie hasn't had any KBS, and we tease him for his Canadian lifestyle, but they also, Founders also makes a CBS, Canadian Breakfast Stout. And so I think we were kind of joking about that before we recorded. So I figured I should say it again. But both are very good. Both are very strong, like a barrel-aged kind of dark stout. And what I do here in Michigan, since Founders is our it's on the west side of the state over in Kalamazoo area. But what I typically do if I'm out, which has not been the regular these days, these past 6 months, but if KBS or CBS is on tap somewhere, it's usually I'll have that first because it's so strong, and then drop down to something a little lighter. Because otherwise, if you start at a 6% or 7 and then go to a KBS, someone else got to drive you home.
Yes.
The same rule we usually follow, and my dad does the same thing. He'll always will go out to dinner and he'll get his stronger pre-dinner beer, and then he'll switch to something more reasonable.
Yeah, that KBS, it sneaks up on you. Because it doesn't taste strong. Maybe the first sip does, but It's so smooth.
It's very smooth, yeah.
And
so Kurtz, your brainchild for this episode, because to remind Toby and Claris, as much as I'm usually the one who's the sketcher, like Kurt is the one whose brainchild this whole podcast was. So I give him all due credit for that. And so he's organized a thought-provoking experiment for us of the beer flights and the sketching. So I will let you explain.
Well, it's really just an excuse to hang out.
And drink beer with friends.
It came up after we juried the AI Iowa Young Architect Award and I had to go to another meeting. So we didn't have time to do the fun catch up. So then I threw out the concept, hey, let's talk about sketching, have a flight of beer, you know. And everybody said yes. And
in the Zoom life, that's all we really need. Yes.
But so this episode definitely kind of veers from our typical, but I think in light of 2020, it's all about having fun, mixing things up a little bit. So the concept, getting, now that we're, a good 40 minutes into the episode, the concept, as Jamie is teasing, is I thought, hey, well, we could do a little sketching and, while we had a flight. And I think probably the 40 minutes is good because now the beer is starting to kick in and, we call that in golf they would call that swing oil, but in Coffee Sketch podcast terminology that would be sketch fluid
lubrication.
yeah that analogy fell flat,
warming up the ink.
Yeah, so now our pens are alive, right? So I hope Toby's got some implement as well.
I gave him a couple options.
Oh.
Ooh, excellent.
So from time to time, Jamie especially when we talk about Jamie's sketches, we talk about some of the tools and techniques. And so I have a very cool but very inexpensive fountain pen that I like. I'm kind of a fan of fountain pens, and I like the wider points in fountain pen terminology, nib, or implements. But so comes out rather heavy, and the more liquid ink I enjoy. So this one's kind of neat because it's see through, and you could see the mechanism and stuff like that. So.
Now, that's a cool looking pen, but I would totally break it. That's my problem with like the fountain pen is that I would probably break the pen. Like I would do something I'm not supposed to, and I'd be like, "Oh, I bought this really cool pen," and then break the nib.
Well, that's the good thing about this one is it was only like $15.
Oh, okay.
Well, so it doesn't have that pain factor if something did happen to it.
I'm always forever trying to find the least expensive pen that still gets me where I want to be. So it's like,
yeah. Well, yeah. So Jamie has been a longtime fan of Pilot precision pens, or the V5. Right. Yeah. You like the narrow, the fine nib. Whereas, I'm a V7 fan myself. And so what about you guys? What have you equipped and armed Toby with today?
Sharpie.
Can't complain.
Can't go wrong with a Sharpie.
A go-to.
Yeah, got one of those here too.
I got the V-Ray.
It's just a pencil from convention. Oh.
Wow, thanks.
He's like, wow, okay.
And the what is it? The Pentel sign pen.
Oh.
Yeah, the nice thick felt tip.
That's nice. Yeah.
That's another nice favorite pen of mine.
That's what I've got.
Nice.
Along with the Sharpie, and I've got, of course, all my other implements of destruction. I have a nice fountain pen. Was it Lamy?
Lamy, yeah.
That I got when I was traveling in Europe, and
those are also a nice, like, inexpensive, but
yeah,
super durable and reliable. I have one too. I just don't have any ink in it right now, but
that is my problem. My ink reserves are in my cubicle at the office, which I have not been to since March.
Oh yeah. It's one of the few things I actually stole off my desk at work. Well, I wouldn't say stole, but retrieved. There's actually ink in it. I might actually use this one too. So anyway, the loose game plan was to do a little sketch charrette, as is said in the biz. A charrette meaning a short design collaboration. At least that's the definition I'm going to go with. But I've now kind of lost the subject matter. What should we choose as the subject? I need help. Maybe we should lob it into Toby's court. The wild card. What should we draw? And I think what we should do, you could pick the subject. I say let's do 2 minutes because Zoom gives me a clock, so at least I can count approximately 2 minutes.
All right, approximately 2 minutes. A nice picture of a Stein.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
Stein. That's fancy. All
right. Hold on. Well, let me. I want to give this. It's super fair. Everyone, okay. A fair shot. The clock starts in 5 seconds. Go. Somebody's already cheating. I already heard scribbling.
Did you freeze? Did you freeze, Kurt?
He
froze.
He wanted to give himself a head start.
So are we going now?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Clock. I'll give some buffer time of 3.5 seconds.
Thanks.
Great idea, Toby Stein. All right, so we have to do some filler. I could always edit this part out too, you know, and we can clip right to the go.
So Toby, with the idea of a Stein, like I can talk while I draw. So favorite brew pub, brew excursion location that you've been to lifetime?
Actually it would probably be the when I went to Ireland.
To the Ireland?
Yep, because we went to the Guinness Brewery. And then we also went to Jameson.
The distillery.
Oh, yes. Cool.
Jameson Distillery, which I'm a big fan of Jameson. It was some of the things that they did while we were there, whatever. We got to do tastings and, they had some food with little shots of Jameson and different kinds. So it was actually educational at one point or at some times, and then just drinking away. It was fun. Now I haven't been to a bunch of breweries yet. So that's the thing. We went to Heineken. The Heineken brewery was actually really cool.
Yeah. Heineken. I went to Heineken in Amsterdam. That was pretty, and even just sort of, I remember like they sort of had you almost walk through like a sort of pseudo tank.
10 seconds.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That was amazing.
It 10 was like, seconds.
What is this?
And you, 5 seconds.
You kind of, just to get the scale of it was just sort of fabulous.
Time. It's 2 minutes-ish. You know, I got to Guinness and Jameson too. A few years ago, we went to Ireland, Dublin. And we didn't do like the food pairing thing, but we did... You know, you did the tour at Jameson, and then they at the end there. Hold on, Jamie. Hold on. Oh man, look at this. He's trying to show off. Anyway, we'll get back to my concept of or my experience. But we did get to do a little flight of Jameson. Well, and then they tried to put some Jack Daniels in there as like a test. And see what you thought, like comparing the Jameson, Johnny Walker, and Jack Daniels, I think was the and see which one, you know, if you could taste test after you did the tour, like you said, the educational test at the end. You could definitely tell Jack Daniels.
Oh, you
right?
could oh you have corn. To.
Yeah. The corn. But anywho.
Yeah, that's
fun.
At the Jameson Distillery, my best, like that was probably where I got the best old fashioned I had ever had.
Ooh.
And I've been trying to duplicate it
for
years, and I've failed miserably.
Well, they've come up with so many different Jamesons now, whatever. They have the coffee, or the, was it the coffee Ooh. Brew?
Yeah, they've got the cold brew.
Cold brew one. So they have a bunch of different ones, and they are very amazing. Very good. Very good.
And there's a reserve batch too.
Yes.
I mean, there's a bunch of stuff you probably can't get in the store because you're at the distillery, or maybe you can.
Thirsty? Would you like to walk around the corner there and grab the one?
Maybe in a minute.
Yeah. Yes.
We've got a good collection because they now have a new IPA one. They've got the cold brew. I've got the classic Jameson, and that's just what's available at Total Wine. I mean, I can't remember what, and they've got a couple other ones too that. We're not as intriguing.
Ooh,
I'm not big on flavored whiskey. Like I'd much have like the pure thing.
Yeah.
So. But something like, and really the only difference between like the IPA one is it's cask and like IPA casks. So similar to like the bourbon age type style, only with IPA. So really I don't really taste the difference, but I haven't done like a straight taste test yet.
That's another idea line them up.
Future, we can do a future flight of whiskey tasting. All right. So you should do a 3-2-1 show off your sketches? Jamie created a cat.
Yes.
Ooh. In 2 minutes.
Very lifelike.
Oh. I don't know what. We got to think of names.
I'm ready.
All right. Here it is. What about Toby? Where is it? Where is the star?
Mine's too simple.
Oh. Ooh, Oktoberfest. Labeled.
I have a little coffee cup in honor of coffee.
Oh, nice. Very nice. Great.
We appreciate that. That's great.
I think mine has like a Kraken on it or something. I'm not really quite sure.
It looks...
I would say that he pre-did that, but I know he didn't know that I was going to say Stein. Okay, so very good.
Just
Jamie.
Got a
very
stack
good.
Of like random objects.
Yeah.
See, which let picture, me find what the page in the book. So
and then I had so to little, show my alma mater some love, and I put USC on there.
There's my roommate. Hey.
So a little education for you guys. If someone was to say, could you go get me a grab a Toby? A Toby, if you look it up in the dictionary, is a stein formed in the shape of a fat stub knee man with a three-cornered hat that you would serve ale in. So there you go. And that's what Toby means.
You need this as a t-shirt.
Yes. Okay, there you go.
Grab a Toby.
Like, grab a Toby. It's like, okay, that would be an awesome tonight. T-shirt. Like, tonight's the night I'm wearing the shirt. you can dress it up, dress it down, but it's the shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Nice blazer, I think, would dress it up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I'm ready to party, you know.
All right, we're doing that for our next convention.
Wow.
You can wear that to the emerging professionals party.
Right, right.
Oh, you know, this year marks... I think this year marks my emergence from emerging professional definition. I've been licensed 10 years now.
Oh, well, congratulations, but also hashtag sadness.
Maybe 11 years. Oh my God. Anyway,
I was licensed in 09. So.
It does not exclude us from being in attendance to the party.
August 09.
So you guys have another housemate.
Yes, we do have another roommate.
Hope he's cool.
He is. Well, we're also nearing the end of our roommate. Not that that sounds horrible, but no, we're moving out.
I was going to say, like, in COVID times, we don't say those things that way.
That's like a
we're parting ways.
Very ominous.
A Twin Peaks answer.
After 7 years of co-living. Supposed to be three. But no, so we're all moving on out, and Toby and I are buying a home.
Cool.
Congratulations.
Wow. Yeah.
Yay. We close next Thursday.
Oh, that's exciting.
Out of the bag. I've kept it very much under the radar and haven't posted anything because I wanted to make sure it was really happening first.
Right.
Yeah. No worries. Don't worry. Jamie would love for me to edit and post this episode right away, but it probably won't happen until after you close.
Well, we close Thursday, so anytime after that.
All odds point to not going to happen.
Yeah, if we had a magic eight ball right now.
Yeah, right. Highly unlikely. Oh, so. Man.
Well, Toby's all excited about home renovation projects, right?
Yeah. Toby, you know a good architect?
So tell us about the house. I mean, yeah, Toby. Yeah.
No, he doesn't. No.
Have you already drawn? Have you already drawn the house? Like, let's be honest. May have done some sketching.
A little bit.
Jamie, She didn't even see this house before she sketched it. Okay. I'm not joking. I mean, literally, she, at the point then when she decided that this was the one, whatever, I mean, she had the house completely drawn out and she was already on Wayfair looking for stuff. So
beautiful.
I guarantee if you were to go look at her desk right now, whatever, she probably has at least 15 different sketches of how she wants it all set up. So
somewhere excellent. On my desk, maybe.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. No, that's the way it should be.
It is.
And the fact, Toby, that you appreciate that, you know, to the level that you can describe it that way. We all love that. All of us architects love that. So,
oh, I've learned so much terms in the last couple of weeks, you know, about houses and stuff. And it's kind of funny of all the things that she's been saying. We end up watching a couple TV programs and they will say it on the TV program. And I'm like, really? So, you know, like example, you know, obviously a structure has to have the bones, the good bones of a structure. And every once in a while, we'll watch an episode and they say that. And I look at her, I'm like, there we go.
The bones. So it's got bones.
Yes, it's got good bones. So no, it's a mid-century modern
ooh
home. It's got an awesome backyard and swimming pool. It's still got some little bit of work to do to it, which is kind of what she was aiming for, that way that she can add her own little flair to it, if you will.
Absolutely.
It's yeah. Livable, but still needs some work.
Yes. No, I mean, that's the ideal. I mean, cause it's like, even when I was looking for a house, you know, and I bought this house basically when I got licensed. But at that time, M was only like five. So it was like, I'm not going to live through a major renovation. So I bought a house that was, you know, smaller scale with an outdoor space that was basically like completely barren. And that's where we put a lot of the energy in, is sort of, you know, kind of creating the outdoor space, you know, over the past 10 years. Yeah, I can totally applaud buying a house that's livable with like some opportunities for potential design. That's always exciting. That's great.
Yeah.
Congratulations again.
Thank you.
It's
a 3-bedroom. It's not huge, but it's about 1,300 square feet. 3-bedroom, 1 bath, which I was not wild about, but it turns out there's actually a garage bath. That was a new one to me, but they actually built a full bathroom in the garage. So there's a sink, toilet, shower.
Garage?
The connected garage.
Okay.
So it was built in 1953. I'd say it's more just mid-century. It's not truly a mid-century modern, but it still has some of the...
Wants to be, yeah.
Yeah.
It
has the potential.
Aspirations.
Yeah, but it's got a really nice screened-in back patio, and then it's got the lovely pool, complete with a diving board, which you don't see anymore. That's probably going to get removed pretty quickly, thanks to my insurance.
Oh, really?
But so it's not a huge yard. The majority of the backyard is the pool and the screened-in patio, and then they've got like a separate wood deck that's outside. So nicely landscaped, so all that's already done. And it's not huge bedrooms, but we're trying to downsize because we're in about a little over 2,000 square foot house now with three of us. It's also 3 bedrooms, 2 baths. But it's got a really big multi-purpose backspace, which is where I'm actually set at my office and sort of our second living room. So we won't have that. But I think it'll be perfect for us. It's in a nice neighborhood. We'll have lake access. It's not on the lake, but we have through the neighborhood access to a lakefront lot that we can put in paddle boards, stuff like that. So I'm very excited. I think really the only major remodel that we're going to embark on in the near future is a complete kitchen remodel and probably a complete bathroom remodel are the two. Everything else is pretty decently laid out. So I'm excited.
Yeah, cool.
Lots of painting in my immediate near future.
But that's always fun. That's
I still
Toby
got
is so excited.
Yeah, Toby's so stoked about that. Yeah.
Look, check this out. I can easily turn. Look at up there.
Oh, are you pitching? Are you pitching the indoor sauna?
Well, no, there's that, but look at the ceiling.
Yeah, you look like you're losing some drywall there, buddy.
There was a leak. I think there's a vent through the roof. But we had when we moved in, we had a boot, you know, a new boot put on the vent, but still painting to do. And that's a small piece of painting to do. There's everything else needs painting. Look at the which way? Oh, I got to turn it.
To your other left.
So there's the I need to get the light switch back in because the electrician took it out, and because there's a hallway bathroom. You know, anyway, I digress. Basically, my point is that you always hear people say, "Oh, you're never going to be done," and that's true.
Oh yeah, believe me, I'm gonna want to change stuff after a couple of years anyway, as far as wall color or something. But
I always thought, like, oh no, I want to be done, and everyone said, no, you're really never done fixing up the house. And I was like, I don't want to believe that, but now I do.
So I credit one main life experience to why I became an architect, and that was the fact that when I was a young child, from like 1 through, well, I guess like 15. And then my dad owned a house. He had bought with my mom it was built in like early 1800s, a row house in downtown Richmond in the Fan District. And they completely gutted it after they bought it, down to the studs. Well, that was in the mid to late 70s. I came along in the 80s or in 80. And as long as my dad owned that house, it never had walls on the downstairs floor. So I grew up with exposed studs, wiring, all that stuff. He completely wired the whole house. He's an electrical engineer and did all the stuff, built out the kitchen. All the kitchen cabinets were custom built by him. So that was like sort of where my playground as a young child was, this half-built house that I am now an architect because of. So I'm fine living in, you know, a project house, but I also didn't want it to be a complete project house when I took it on. Mm-hmm. So the fact that the kitchen is definitely usable right now is great, but it definitely, that's the room that needs the most updating and use to make it a little more better.
Oh, this is our meta moment right there.
That was a first for the podcast Zoom. Yeah. Toby.
I don't know where he's running.
Emerged into Clarice's window.
Yes.
So, well, this was a lot of fun.
Was. Or is still.
Thanks for obliging my random acts of hangout. But yeah, well, that's pretty exciting. Is it in the same near, you know, Orlando area?
Like, it is very near us. Actually, it is 2 minutes from my current house. So we are actually just moving. It's not in the same neighborhood. It's across a main street. So we're just about 2-3 blocks south of where we are now, essentially. So yeah, it's a nice neighborhood. Lots of, it's well established, but it's not like a gated community. There's no homeowners association, which was rule number one for buying a house. So it's in a nice neighborhood that's been around for a while. So I'm excited.
especially as an architect, because that's just like a whole lot of trouble, waiting to happen.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like me, it's like, I have this, I think I'm just at 1500 square feet. But it's two story. So it's a really small footprint. You know, but there is a homeowners association, and it's like, and it's a fairly new build. I'm like the second owner first person had it for just a couple years. But like they have like paint approved paints and like for everything. And like if you're going to do anything outside landscaping wise, they have to approve it. And all. So I'm like, well, I'm going to change the yard because the yard has nothing in it. Like I will do a landscape drawing here in my sketchbook. Let me show you what it's going to look like. And they were like, wow, no one's really done a drawing like that for us before. I'm like, okay, so that means you've approved it. And they're like, I guess so. I'm like, okay, catch you later. You know, too much stuff.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's one of the big issues down here is so many of the neighborhoods are HOA driven gated communities, mostly on a golf course. Like there's a lot of golf course communities down here. And I just didn't want that. And luckily Orlando has a pretty diverse architectural like housing portfolio. There's different neighborhoods that are very mid-century modern. Like that's the bulk of the footprints, but they're all unique. And then you get into the newer neighborhoods that are just cookie cutter and every third house is the same. And I didn't want that. So we just more looked at neighborhoods that we wanted to live in and narrowed it down that way. And then had to, of course, deal with what we could afford based on the outlandish Orlando housing market.
Right.
Did it? Well, anyway, I the real estate, well, I hope it wasn't the case, but you know, this pandemic has created all kinds of unforeseen circumstances that like I thought, some people thought, I wouldn't say I did right away, but you know, that construction costs would go down. And if anything, they've gone way up. And then real estate, you know, was quiet for a little bit. And then even in my neighborhood here, once the realtors could get out, there was so much demand because nobody could list and all that stuff. And then so a friend of mine, a neighbor around the corner, is a realtor, and he was like, he's like, I'm having one of my best years because like as soon as like they could list houses, they were just like boom, 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 you know, like selling like crazy. Was it hard to find? Was it the same down there with real estate?
I think it's sort of the same. It's definitely still a little bit like the seller's market, but there's more and more properties coming on the market every day. And so there wasn't a lack of inventory to pick from, but just sort of finding like what you wanted and the price range in the neighborhood was a little bit more of a challenge because some neighborhoods, at least down here, the neighborhoods we were looking in based on like the type of house we wanted are older, but also way more expensive. They're like the neighborhoods to live in, which I'm like, they're old, tiny houses. I don't understand why they're so expensive. So that was a little bit of a challenge. You know, you get farther away from downtown, like obviously they get less expensive, but we were trying to strike a balance of staying close to my office in the event that I ever get to return, but then also close to Toby's job because he has to, with him being on call, he has to stay within a certain mile radius. So we're sort of limited, but we lucked out. I think we were it was actually the second house we looked at and started the process immediately thereafter, and a lot of waiting, like downtime, because we made an offer so early and to where we needed to close and be out of here. So
I mean, isn't that always the case though? I mean, I say that as if I've like, you know, bought a bunch of houses, which isn't the case, but like I think this house was like, if not the first, it was the second house I looked at that I'm in. And it was sort of the same way where it's like your instinct sort of drew you to something and you're like, I think there's some possibilities here. And you end up drawing lots of sketches. I've drawn too many sketches of this house that I've not executed. The kitchen in this house is crazy small. And I've rearranged the furniture in the house at least 4 times. yeah, not knocked in down any walls yet, but you know, well, maybe in a future life.
All right. So I'm looking at the clock, and this is my awful way to sign off here. Jamie knows I ain't good at this either. I'm not good at the opening and the closing. So I'm going to make it even worse. So I'll trim the bad parts out, right? You know, maybe, maybe not. So anyway, I wanted to thank you guys again. And it was a lot of fun. We could try and do this again if you're willing. We don't have to actually do it for the podcast. We can actually just do it and not record it for fun.
You know? Yeah. And you'd be allowed to be in the same screen if you felt, you know, yeah, the compulsion to do that.
Yeah. We appreciate the sound quality concerns. Yes. To improve our audience listening experience
and the sketch participation. This was a second for the podcast of we have tried to do Jamie live sketching before, never with a team. So you guys are the first in that, and I love the prompt. It was perfectly associated with this episode and enjoyed it myself.
Yeah, it was, yeah, the other thing I was going to say was the, you know, was critique wasn't too harsh, you know, so.
It's an easy crowd.
Nobody cried.
Nobody decided to give up their career in architecture.
Right, right, yeah. I'm out of here.
So.
Well, I came in fourth place on my drawing, so I'm good. I'm happy.
Hey, you know, cheers. Everyone gets a trophy. Yes. On the Coffee Sketch podcast.
Cheers, y'all.
What was harder, Toby? This or the marathon?
Oh, the marathon by far.
I don't know why I thought this was going to be harder.
This is a lot shorter.
Now, this one, you just have to work. I mean, yes, it's kind of hard.
Thank you for listening. We both hope that you enjoyed this episode of Coffee Sketch Podcast. Our theme music is provided by my brother, who goes by at Cold Fashioned on Instagram and Twitter. Our podcast is hosted at coffeesketch.buzzsprout.com. Find more show notes and information from this episode. And finally, if you like what you heard, please rate us on iTunes and share us with your friends. Thank you.